right now, it's Giles Peterson.
Peterson on BBC Six Music.
I just want to say how I feel about you.
Avevo privatizzato.
Music is the healing power of the universe.
You didn't find it.
What a way to start this week. Welcome along. This is BBC Radio 6 Music, the music of Zacchaeus Hall. Multi-instrumentalist. And he's got a debut album. It's called Jazz Money. It's kind of coming in like when I first heard Casa Overall. And he's got some heavyweight guests on it as well, just to sort of weight him up. Melanie Charles. One of the great singers. Kisco Swank on there too. And Morgan Guerin. who featured on Banana Laffy Taffy. Opening tune this week, welcome. We've got a great guest today, Chilly Gonzalez, coming up after 4:30. Low End Theory was a club in Los Angeles that introduced the world to so many great producers, a movement. Labels like Now Again and Stone's Throw, of course Brain Feeder and the Children of Tyler, all went through that club. And one of the lead players, purveyors of the good groove and the experimental shift is the Gas Lamp Killer. He's back. Yes, the Gas Lamp Killer, Jason Wall. Chaos in the Brain. Out to Kev, Daddy Kev. Wow, 2018 it closed down, the Low End Theory. Same sort of time, I think, as Plastic People. Similar influence. This is a pleasant surprise. David Holmes production. Let's hear it for Primal Scream. Yeah.
control or did not have control, things would just, you know, would be fatal.
Aquí, Luz de Cuba, desde Cuba.
This Sunday, let us be your musical guide.
Slow Sunday.
As the temperature drops and the season changes,
calm down a little.
To reflect World Mental Health Day, Six Music provides you with a soothing selection.
To settle your soul and focus on your well-being.
A little sanctuary, if you will, with songs as smooth as morning coffee or tea.
Take a beat.
Practice the art of chill.
Slow Sunday.
This Sunday on Six Music.
This is
Six
Music.
I believe in love, I believe in everything.
Giles Peterson, da BBC 6. Música.
I got an oblong, funny ass, Ornette Coleman, Cecil Taylor type pocket, man. That's how I hear it.
Hey, this is Cahill El-Zabar, and I'm on my man Giles Peterson show for BBC. It's the place to be, so come hang with me.
Bye. to have, yet no man wants to lose. A lawsuit. Correct, boy wonder.
Funny how money changes situation. Miscommunication lead to complication. My emancipation don't fit your equation. I was on the humble, you on every station. Someone play young Lauren like she done. But remember not to game new under the sun. Everything you did has already been done. I know all the tricks from bricks to Kingston. My team got major kingdom, one run. Now understand El Boogie, not violent. But different things test me, run for me young. Can't take a threat to me newborn son. El been this way since creation. A goofy car, you far from temptation. Now you want ball over separation. Tarnish my image in the conversation. Who you gonna scrimmage like you the champion? You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you just lost one. You might win some, but you won more.
Okay, Saturday afternoon, just throwing them in there. Chili Gonzalez special guest. Fugees. Romperario from Colombia. Elia and Elizabeth, Alegría, Touch of Ezra. Some Primal Scream. The Nashville rhythm section. Can't go for that.
Loving you. just get hip to forget. Are you trying to prove that you can't take more than give? What good is your song if it ain't in my key? Loneliness makes you strong. Only love makes you free.
This came as a very, very nice, pleasant, a little bit like the Primal Scream surprise. This is Michael Franks. You know, we've been celebrating him a lot this year, one of our hidden giants, alongside Charles Lloyd and Dee Dee Bridgewater and Akiko Yano and Norma Winstone. And at the right moment, Too Slow to Disco doing some edits from Michael's Warner Brothers catalogue. Made a lot of great records on that label. Amazing productions, incredible session players, and a great little twist on Chain Reaction. There's a good version of When Sly Calls as well. This is BBC Radio 6 Music, continuing. Last week, I kind of found myself listening to a lot of saxophonist Jackie McLean. And there's one record that had a gem on it that I totally missed over time. Jackie McLean, Destination Out, after the news.
Hi, this is Michael Franks, and you're listening to Giles Peterson on BBC Six. And when God gave out rhythm, it sure was good to you.
Six Music. This is BBC Radio. Six Music.
BBC News at 3:30. This is Anthony Birchley. The French Interior Minister has said a child died after being trampled on a migrant boat in the Channel. 13 people were taken off the vessel by rescuers this morning, with the rest continuing their journey to the UK. Reports suggest 3 people died in a separate incident involving a migrant boat last night. Hezbollah has fired several rockets into northern Israel, and there are reports that residential buildings have been damaged. The Iranian-backed group says its targets included an airbase near Haifa. In Lebanon, Israel says it's bombed a mosque in the south of the country that was being used as a command base by Hezbollah. Foreign governments have been flying their citizens out of Beirut. The Australian High Commissioner to Cyprus, Fiona McGurgaw, spoke to reporters at Larnaca Airport.
We've had 229 citizens come through, Australians arrive. They'll all be going on to Australia. As I said, they're exhausted, exceptionally happy to be here, but heartbroken because they've left family behind.
Thousands of people are demonstrating in central London against Israel's military campaigns in Lebanon and Gaza in a protest timed to coincide with the first anniversary of the 7th of October attacks by Hamas. Two people have been arrested on suspicion of assaulting an emergency worker. Counter-protests have formed along the route. Police say they're keeping the groups apart. The government's to unveil its major overhaul of workers' rights next week. Labour's promised to introduce legislation for what it calls a new deal for working people in the first 100 days after winning the election. The proposals have been subject to intense negotiation between unions and business groups and may still go out to consultation. Our political correspondent Harry Farley is following developments.
They'll introduce rights from day one for workers on things like parental pay, sick pay and protection from unfair dismissal. So rather than the current situation here in the UK where you have to be working somewhere for 6 months before you can get maternity pay, that would happen from day one. Rather than waiting for 2 years before you can claim for unfair dismissal, that would also happen for day one. But a lot of the negotiations and the fine print are still being worked through.
The consumer group Which has criticised new rules on fraud that come into force on Monday. Banks will have to refund victims up to £85,000 within 5 days. The watchdog, the payment systems regulator, had considered a higher threshold of £415,000. Which has said the consequences of choosing a lower cap will be disastrous. Catherine Westmore is a fraud expert from the think tank the Royal United Services Institute and says smaller payment firms would have struggled with a higher limit.
I think I have some doubts as to whether some of the smaller institutions in particular are really ready for the impact of this. This is going to be a huge shift for them, particularly those who have allowed their accounts to be used and abused by criminals over the last few years.
Football and Liverpool have beaten Crystal Palace 1-0 at Selhurst Park. Diogo Jota scored the decisive goal. That's the latest Six Music News. More in an hour.
BBC Radio.
Six Music.
Thank you.
This one's going out to the crew who came out to the first show I've done actually in Seoul, Korea. Just this Thursday gone. Out to DJ Soulscape. This is a track taken from an album that he released earlier on this year called The Prophet. Sound Library Series, Asia Sound Archive. Yeah, really good to be first time at Modesty. In fact, the day before I arrived, Muscle Cars were performing there. Super small club. And a great scene. Big up to Tristan and Lefto. They've been working over in Seoul for many years now. Building up the alternative. You heard music from Jackie McLean. So since last week's show, I've been somehow dipping into a lot of his music, some golden age jazz from the Blue Note label, heavily in that mid-60s period. It was Jackie McLean who introduced the world to Charles Tolliver, the trumpeter. And whilst listening to various of records by the saxophonist, I came across Destination Out that I realised I hadn't ever properly listened to. It's one of the classic Blue Note Sleeves, Francis Wolfe photograph, Rudy Van Gelder recording, and a brilliant lineup as well. Roy Haynes on drums, Larry Ridley playing bass, Bobby Hutcherson vibes, Jackie McLean on alto sax, and yeah, we played him last week as well, Gretchen Moncur the third on trombone. The track was Love and Hate. This is BBC Radio 6 Music. Taking it back. UK Street Soul, Vanessa Simon, Revelation.
Listening to Giles Peterson on BBC Six.
When in doubt. when you're near. I can feel you and I know you got me. When was it wrong if you sent to me from the current storms? I can feel you and I know you feel me too.
When in doubt,
golden, by the sky, by the golden.
I love this one. Gabrielle Riley on the vocals. And Brazilian pianist Zim Manuel. In fact, Zim Manuel. This is called Golden. His new album is called Coral. Great combination. Really brilliant UK MC Brian Nasty before that. He had a show last week in London, album on the way, I think on Big Dada. And Vanessa Simon, sister of Omar, revelation, his Jametta Rose.
BBC Radio
6 Music.
In the 80s, black dance music was thriving.
Ready.
And I want to delve deeper.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come with me.
Saturday nights with Sherelle on 6 Music.
I'll be celebrating Black History Month with a string of shows celebrating the inception of dance music.
Time for the percolator.
Tonight, I'm going to be playing some of the most important Chicago house and Detroit techno records from the likes of Jeff Mills, Kashmir, K-Hand, and Moody Man. And Chicago's Ariel Zatina in the Sweatbox Mix.
Sherelle. 6 Music.
Listen tonight from 11.
Thank you.
So the brother approaches the stand like he's only visiting this planet. I mean, with this utter and awed effluent effervescence, this other realmed obsidian blackness at the helm. And it was the bigness, it was felt. Robes draped and flowing, and somehow also folded like crab rangans. Played the tenor like a brain gun, fingertips stained by the sun of which he was in league with. And trigonometry with the ghost, and mystique and monastic study with the father and presence he was always three, chanting.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
Yes, just like the sun he is.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
Pharaoh will come again.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
The story has no beginning.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
The story has no end.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
Yes, just like the sun he is.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
Pharaoh will come again.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
The story has no beginning.
Pharaoh rise, Pharaoh set.
The story has no end.
BBC Six Music, Saturday afternoon. another brilliant singer coming out of the UK by the name of DeMay. With a small selection of pieces, including music from Venezuela, and that's a reissue from La Retreta Mayor, and an incredible player, Jeff Coffin, with Rap Ferreira and Pharaoh Rise, Floating Points, Tilt Shift, and Joe Greenidge, her version of Feeling Good from Mother's Love Song. And new music from Eglo, Queen Shireen. We've got a special guest coming up here, Chili Gonzalez in the area. Jason Beck got a show coming up at the Albert Hall here in the UK and just released an album 2 weeks ago called Gonzo, his comeback. His unique take on performance, rap, and the piano. Throw them all together, and you get a unique artist who is at the forefront of so many movements. Came over from Canada, connecting with the likes of Feist and Peaches and Mocky. And a one-off, absolutely. That's coming up after the news at 4:30. In the meantime, it's a new album from Surya Botafasina. We'll be right back.
Journeys in Sound with Nimone.
Next week, I am back with a brand new series of Journeys in Sound. I'll be having those free-flowing, in-depth conversations with more fascinating artists.
When I was very young, my dad used to have Abbey Road parties where he'd play Abbey Road again and again and again.
This time, Graham Coxon, Jonah's Policewoman, Simon Raymond and Nadine Shah.
My first musical memory was just trying to kind of understand the craft and how it worked vocally.
I cover their relationship with music, the early experiences that have helped shape them and the songs which have soundtracked those events.
Music will always feel like home.
Journeys in Sound.
Monday to Thursday night from 11
on 6 Music.
So good, I had to play it again this week. This is music from Homer Steinweiss, one of the great, most in-demand drummers in the world, who's performed with so many people from, well, Sharon Jones. He did all that early Amy Winehouse stuff, and he's got a new single out. It's on the Big Crown record label. It features Kirby, and it's called Rollin'. Here's a lovely song from Luca Koplowski and the Ryokan Band. Following a connection with the great Beverly Glenn Copeland.
Just because love and loss forces the song from your lips does not make it a good song. Carelessly constructed, they can be toppled with a kiss. Do they cling so honestly to the one that you address? Fugitive soul, come home to me. Will I chase the spirit through blinding defeat, or do I simply wait to pinch the leaflet the space between all things. Is this just an excuse for poetic distance? Future this song. Guitar like a rebel exile. You just glean the suffering from the 21st century. What happened to dance and the freedom of Eddieism? Found the underground and a taste for cannibalism. Okay, 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 okay. Fugitive song. Come home to me. Fugitive song.
BBC News at 4:30. This is Anthony Birchley. Hezbollah has fired a number of rockets from southern Lebanon into northern Israel, with reports that residential buildings have been hit. The Israeli army says it's bombed a mosque that Hezbollah fighters had been using as a command center in Lebanon. There have also been more Israeli strikes on the southern suburbs of Beirut, where the Iranian-backed group is based. The Israel Defense Forces also said it's killed two top Hamas officials in the country. Alin Kamakian from the charity World Central Kitchen says the humanitarian crisis on the ground is getting worse.
The situation is very critical because the workers are not sleeping at night, or most of them doesn't have home anymore. We have more than 1.2 million displaced people, and the shelters that were schools are full of internally displaced people, and there is no more places. So most of the people are on the streets. Every day it's getting more and more because we are being bombarded every place.
Thousands of pro-Palestinian protesters have marched through the city, through the streets of London, calling for a ceasefire and an end to the conflict in the Middle East, ahead of the first anniversary of the 7th of October Hamas attacks in Israel. Two arrests have been made during the demonstrations. Our reporter Divya Tulwar has been at the march.
We can see people with Palestinian flags. We can see people holding placards and banners saying things like "ceasefire now" and "hands off Lebanon." When we were going along the march, there were people holding giant megaphones, chanting things like "stop the war" and "stop the bombing now."
22-year-old man's been arrested on suspicion of attempted murder after a car was driven into a group of people outside a university freshers event in Birmingham last night. Six people were hurt, five were taken to hospital for treatment. Police have described the incident as an isolated and deliberate attack linked to an earlier incident inside a nightclub. French officials say several migrants have died trying to cross the channel to Britain, including a two-year-old child who was trampled to death in a boat. France's interior minister has said people smugglers were responsible for what he called a terrible tragedy. Our correspondent Aruna Iyengar is following developments.
These arrivals have come on the same day that the UK and other G7 nations have agreed an anti-smuggling action plan, and that's designed to boost cooperation on the issue, and this follows talks in Italy. The idea behind this is that they'll put pressure, amongst other things, on social media companies to stop the adverts going out, which are generating the interest in this smuggling trade.
And a 63-year-old man has been mauled to death by a brown bear whilst he was picking mushrooms in a forest in Slovakia. Another person who was with the victim escaped injury in the incident in the north of the country. The authorities say a party of hunters have been sent out to try to track the animal. It's the second bear-related fatality in Slovakia this year. That's Six Music News. Your next update is at 5:30.
BBC Radio.
Six Music. Thank you.
How's it going?
Fantastic, after hearing that beautiful piece of music that I've never heard before. That's me applauding.
There's a lot of you.
Yeah, I really loved it.
So, hi, how are you? So, Chili Gonzalez, Jason, Gonzo, who are you today?
Maestro.
Yes.
No, I mean, you know, I love, we were talking about how I love composed jazz, because I'm a little bit allergic to jazz musicians kind of overplaying. It kind of loses me. Mm. I like to feel, you know, taken by the hand by music I listen to. And here you hear these like repeated notes, this melody. I saw that he's collaborating with another Japanese pianist on some of the songs. That one is solo, I believe, but I could almost imagine him trying to replicate some Japanese stringed instrument or something on there. And this is what I love to hear. I just feel like I'm taken by the hand and really being presented something that only this one man, Mal Waldron, with his obsessions, maybe he was traveling in Japan. I make a whole story in my mind at how it ended up to hear this beautiful piece with all these repeated notes and a real respect for the listener that I hear when I listen to that.
Jason, you've got an album that just came out, Gonzo, which we're going to talk about. You've got a big concert taking place at the Albert Hall. You've never played there before.
That's right, yeah. October 28th, yeah. My Royal Albert Hall debut.
Well, that's amazing. So the last time, was it Barbican Royal Festival?
I think I did my last show was a Christmas concert just as the pandemic was letting up at the end of 2021.
Right.
And I did a Royal Festival Hall show there with lots of guests and very much in the Christmas spirit. And that was really nice. It was the music is back era, as I call it. So, yeah.
First time I met you was around 20 years ago, in 2005, I was actually just starting a festival in the south of France.
Which still goes on to this day.
Which is still going. And it was an iconic moment when you came and played. And it was the beginning of something which I've really obviously been part of my history. And you were the very beginning of it. And then I saw you again, 10 years later?
Yeah.
When I introduced one of your shows.
Yeah, the orchestra show with the BBC Radio Orchestra at the Barbican.
Yeah.
No, at Set also was the beginning of my solo piano breakthrough. You know, I had put out a few records in the sort of more electro rap, putting my personality a bit first, I would say, coming out of the Berlin Underground and sort of extreme performance art with like Peaches and people like that. But then when I released that piano record, kind of as a lark, as a kind of side project, and then it just changed everything for me and started to get asked to play at places like this beautiful amphitheater in Set. Mm. And so that gig was also a real moment for me. I think it was the first time I had played in an outdoor festival setting at the piano, and I was a bit nervous because I'd been playing in closed theaters with seats where people, you have the automatic advantage of people paying attention to instrumental music. And I was thinking, am I going to be able to hold the attention of a southern French crowd who are, you know, drinking their whatever they're drinking in the beautiful open air, which, you know, always has a little bit of a different way of trying to get people's attention. And the show went great. I mean, you could hear a pin drop in certain pianistic moments. And of course, I am an entertainer, so it wasn't simply just solo piano music, but great memories of that show.
Thank you.
sorry not, sorry if I sound rude, but I was the first underground dude to make a piano record with a pop attitude. Now I got so many children, it's a family feud. And that was way back in 2004. Solo Piano was the album that opened the door. Today they call it neoclassical, but don't confuse it. It's a stretch to even call that ish yoga music. A song without a melody is atmosphere. It's okay, but it can't catch your ear. When there's no tension, then there's no passion. It won't hold my attention, I guess I'm old-fashioned. I hate it when my ears are not surprised. That's when you know the composition's compromised. The piano has been monetized. All those fingers trying to hit the sweet spot, they've been Spotified. Catalog with the Grammy nod. Piano God, I'm not mad at all. I got entire albums at 100 million streams, which means I keep them listening. And you, a slave to the playlist. Face it, you're faceless. Your labels, your music leaves no traces. Nobody loves it or hates it. And your status is so swagless. The saddest part is that your art creates no addicts. You're in a musical prison. Nobody's choosing to listen. There's a new algorithm. It's pitching your pieces to someone in their kitchen trying to finish their thesis. Oh no, they say they love you, but they lie. Your stats will stay high the more you sound like AI. Way for thin songs of vapor. You are not a painter, you are wallpaper. And do not at me, cause I am not peaceful. Your math doesn't add up, cause we are not equals. In your Philip Glass mask, amateur, welcome to my neoclassical massacre. Peaceful, piano, pitiful, arpeggios, unoriginal, stereo, typical, sounds like you're typing, three chords on a digital keyboard, I call you mini-me, you call it minimal. And your performance is conformist, I cringe at all those pictures of your piano in the forest, you say you take your inspiration from nature, but there's nothing faker than seeing you play on a glacier, you told your camera crew make it look organic. Oh, your piano suddenly appeared as if by magic. You posted a sunset, but the sky is cloudy. You're not eyeing outy, you are flying outy. And if you wonder who I'm talking to, well, it's probably you, because it's all of you. And if you're offended, call my manager. The number's 1-800 Neoclassical Massacre.
Wonderful. Wow. So this is taken from the new album. It's a full circle in a way. We played.
I loved the segue. I mean, to hear the album that I'm talking about in that verse, just, you know, to hear the first song off of that played immediately before, it just puts it, I think, into a perfect relief, you know.
And so much has happened since that first record, that first piano solo record, in sort of the way people are taking music in and their relationship with music. And
yeah, it was just before the algorithm in 2004. Yeah. So yeah. I got a clear shot at an old school way of reaching the audience, uncorrupted by the algorithm. And, you know, the algorithm has been very kind to me, as I say in the song. My problem is not with the algorithm. I'm not against Spotify. I mean, Lord knows I've really taken advantage of everything it has to offer to have, you know, most music that's ever been released at your fingertips. But I guess my problem is with the artists who, like in the 90s with radio singles, allow that algorithm to be present in their creative process. So I kind of try to separate out being an artist, in which I go fishing inside of myself and my unconscious will spew something out and I just accept and respect it, even if I don't necessarily like it, I'm going to finish it. Try to make a thing of integrity without compromise. Take it to the end of the idea. And then, of course, I put on my businessman hat. I've been an independent musician, you know, label-wise and everything else for so long now that I'm the one who has to come up with the clickbait and the story and the video idea and how to perform it live and all of that. Then I become very much audience conscious. Then I become the entertainer that I am. But those are two separate parts of the process.
How do you, I mean, do you have a lot of, do you find it easy to let go of the music that you make, your creative sort of moments, or do you sort of, are you controlling, that's not right? Do you sort of A&R manage yourself? You know, how do you allow it to go out? Because I think one of the problems with a lot of artists these days is just letting it go.
Well, I have a producer named Renaud Le Temps, a French guy that I've been working with since 2001 or so. He's worked on almost every album of mine. Other than sometimes the collaborations with other musicians who are themselves producers, but he's kind of like the conductor, you know. Yeah. The conductor tells you what is the best way for the material to be interpreted. So I might, you know, come up with a song like Neoclassical Massacre, and he'll encourage me to perform it in a certain way so that the emotions can sing out the best. And then he's also taking care of all the technical details because he's very gifted with that, which I'm not. So I'm someone who, I love the content. I spend a lot of time on the content, but once it's done, I can really trust the musicians playing with me, my producer. I learned over time that I'm better when I'm challenged by someone who knows me well. So no, my control freak days are kind of long behind me, I would say.
Talk to me about the beginnings of Jason, of Chilly Gonzalez, Toronto, your early days. Yeah, give us a bit of a history going back for those that don't know.
Well, I'm sitting here with a huge jazz collection around me, and if you guys could see this, and this isn't even Giles's main record collection, but I was a jazz nerd. I was kind of fascinated by virtuosity. I loved how complex jazz was. I was hungry for, you know, weird chords, and I would go over to the piano and try to decipher them. And it took me a while, and luckily I had some good teachers who were trying to push me more in the direction of, okay, yes, but music is not about showing off. It's not about impressing someone. It's about connecting with them. And thank God those teachers were there. Otherwise, I might have continued down what I think is a kind of a false path. And then I kind of got sidetracked a little bit by the indie rock 90s Canadian music scene, which was maybe a reaction against my previous fascination with virtuosity, and the indie rock people were so, you know, basic in a way, but they also, unfortunately, didn't seem to be having that much fun. They were overly concerned with hiding their ambition. So that seemed also like a false path. So it just took me a while. And what really put me in the direction I'm on now is rap music, because rappers didn't seem to have to decide between art and commerce. They could do both, and they could use commerce to push the art forward and use art to get the commerce going. And I just thought, okay, this is a world where they're having fun. They're living out kind of a fantasy. And these names like Busta Rhymes and Biggie Smalls just eventually inspired me to create the name Chilly Gonzalez as a way to represent my fantasy version of myself in my bathrobe and slippers on stage, being arrogant from one second to the other. I can switch to being very touching and humble because I'm a complex human being, and that's what I wanted to represent, and to go on stage with that kind of impunity and have people reward me for this fantasy is surprisingly intimate. So I learned that by being larger than life, sometimes you reveal more truth than if you're pretending to be authentic, if that makes any sense. So I was kind of, I was like, don't look back, you know. I started even rapping at some point and running my career as if I were a rapper, including making piano records that in a way I would treat as if I were a rapper. And I often say that even when I'm just playing the piano alone, there's kind of a invisible rap beat playing in my head. And that's what led me, I think, to be bold. You know, rappers in the 2000s were doing such avant-garde stuff, you know, that golden age when they stopped sampling and you started to hear a lot more real instruments in the Neptunes and Swizz Beatz and Timbaland and others. And that was so inspiring to me because I could hear real composers pushing the envelope, a lot of dissonance, a lot of wrong notes, So for me, it was just a real golden age of saying, okay, this is my sort of philosophical North Star now. This is the music that back then it was the future. Now, of course, we know it's the present. Rap has taken over everything in pop culture, and this takeover is more than welcome and long overdue. And they didn't have much help doing it because the elites in the music business and the media were, of course, suspicious of rap. And so what they managed to pull off is nothing less than miraculous. A real classic would be something like Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See by Busta Rhymes.
Great.
Dun-gung, dun-gung. You know that one, right?
Yeah. I just wanted you to carry on because we could put the beat over the top of that. But
check it out. Hit you with no delaying, so what you saying, yo? Silly with your ice, grilly with the dilly, yo. When I be on the mic, yes, I do my duty, yo. While up in the club like we while in the studio. You know when the valley, baby, really and truly, yo. My main thug, villain ain't Julio, he moody, yo. Type of brother that'll slap you with the tulio. Yo. Real shook, scared to death, act fruity, yo. X that, looking shorty, she a little cutie, yo. The way she shake it make me wanna get all in the booty, yo. Top mistress of the banging misses and videos. While I'm with my freak like we up in the freak shows. Hit you with the shit, make you feel it all in your toes. Hatch, got all my people in red clothes. Tell them my metaphors when I formulate my flows. If you don't know, you're messing with lyrical player pros.
Do
like
you really wanna party with me? Let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me, let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me.
Music. Dream time with Zakia.
Step into a different realm with 2 hours of music to ease your mind and soothe the soul.
Six.
Every show, we delve into the dream worlds of our guests and listeners.
This particular one was a dream that I had that I'd met the immaculate person.
And we embark on a sonic journey with the Dreambeats. An ambient bath of relaxing soundscapes
to help you truly unwind. Dreamtime with Zakia.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
It's an interesting sort of way that you incorporate it in what you are as an entertainer. There's the stand-up, there's the piano, there's the jazz, there's the free, there's the sort of anarchist, the anarchy of your performance. But hip-hop is very much within that. It's kind of, it's the source, it's the energy.
Well, it's the music of our time, so I just owe it as a man of my time or a person of my time to find out why. And the more I got deep into it, the more I saw that this is the only true new musical genre, and it's the ultimate mirror of our society. You know, the people who don't like rap, the things they complain about are just the things that maybe they don't like in society. But we need to look at ourselves, and rap helps us do that. People say, yeah, it's so materialistic, it's so much about the ego of the person rapping. And I'm like, have you lived in 2024? We live in highly alienated, egotistical times, very materialist. We're in late capitalism. A lot of people are suffering. And rap is a kind of internalization of those contradictions, you know? Rap is a kind of capitalist revenge fantasy, if you think about it, in many ways. And so I think anyone who's resisting the rap of today just isn't comfortable with today, and fair enough. But then if you don't like today, then the next obvious question is do something about it. But rap reflects our society, and I just wouldn't have been comfortable staying in the classical or jazz worlds that I had kind of, or indie rock worlds that I'd previously inhabited. I did flirt with electronic music a little more as well. You know, I played with Daft Punk quite a bit, wrote with them in the studio, did a whole album with the great producer Boys Noize. Most recently, I did a collaborative album with Richie Houghton based on one of his classics from over two decades ago. And electronic music, I feel like on a musical level, is very, very inspiring. And we've seen it have its influence within rap. But fundamentally, I do see electronic music as more old-fashioned than rap, personally.
Wow. There's many aspects of Chilly Gonzalez. Gonzo, I mean, I've heard you rapping in German. You've got a huge relationship with France, French music, chanson, French rap. And I was watching the other day the DJ Mehdi documentary, which was amazing. And I completely forgot about his pre-sort of electro phase, where he was producing all these incredible French rappers that were the sort of generation after I Am and MC Solar. Mm-hmm. And there was this little window that I completely missed on. And I was just thinking about how French rap kind of found its voice a lot quicker than other Europeans. So like British rap took a while because it was so sort of close to the language that they just couldn't help but try and sound American. But with the French, they found their voice really quickly. And what's your thoughts on French rap? And when did you discover it? I suppose being from Toronto, were you a little bit Quebecois? Were you speaking French?
Yeah, I actually grew up in Montreal, which is properly the French part. And okay. I went to French school. But I discovered French rap in 2004 with a group called La Rumeur, who were a very militant political group, a little bit like Dead Prez, maybe a little bit like Public Enemy, but more like, I would say, like Dead Prez in the early 2000s. And they ended up in a lawsuit with then Interior Minister Nicolas Sarkozy, who became the president. That lawsuit lasted, 10 years. They kind of lost steam. They had to spend all their cash and their energy fighting this lawsuit for incitement to violence against him because they had a lyric that was, nasty towards him, and he deserved it. So they ended up winning that court case, and I kind of brought them out of retirement for this aforementioned film session, The Grunt 63, and I'm now working on a full collaborative album with them. But I met them in 2004. And just from there, I've just been fascinated, like you, with how French rap was able to escape the curse of trying to imitate American rap and feel like it's, 5 to 7 years behind. And no one can really explain it. It's a fascinating topic. Some people have theories that it's to do with how ingrained the immigration in France was. And if you compare that to Germany, for example, it's true that the wave of immigration started after World War II, and German rap is definitely behind infrastructure-wise in terms of their rap industry. In France, they have reality shows finding the next rapper. They have their own awards ceremony called Les Flammes. They have these media platforms, very ambitious ones like Grunt, the one I worked with, who've been doing amazing freestyle sessions, very aesthetically shot, because of course it's France, Something about the way that French embrace aesthetics with the language, they hold their language in very high esteem. All these factors seem to conspire to make France, somehow almost ahead of the States at this point in how fast moving it is. I would even say American rap in some ways is stagnating, whereas French rap is just thriving and moving exponentially by the month. And it's just a wonderful thing to see.
Au cœur de vieilles embrouilles, je m'en bats les couilles, j'en ai plus rien à battre. J'ai joué en connaissant les cartes. L'enfant a brisé son hocher, mordu les tétons de sa nourrice, traumatisé sa tutrice. Qu'est-ce qu'on va faire de toi? Les mains faites pour la merde. Attrape une serpillère, nettoie. Mes nuits s'échappent du pot de ma première 103. Je lève les stores de ma fenêtre, les étoiles comme ancêtres. T'as dit de parler sans lever le doigt. L'homme assis peut évoluer. Retourne dans tes escaliers. La terre ne va pas s'arrêter de tourner. Une bagatelle pour un chien sans maître. Au fond de la classe, au dernier rang, des amitiés peuvent naître. Quelques Gaulois qui n'ont pas eu le choix, et quelques métèques buvant à notre échec. Nos parents, leurs dettes, un toit sur la tête. Le petit est malin, mais ça reste une bête qui ne mord pas pour rien, qui ne se querelle pas pour des miettes.
BBC Radio 6.
This Sunday, let us be your musical guide.
Slow Sunday.
As the temperature drops and the season changes,
calm down a little.
To reflect World Mental Health Day, 6 Music provides you with a soothing selection.
To settle your soul.
and focus on your well-being.
A little sanctuary, if you will, with songs as smooth as morning coffee or tea.
Take a beat.
Practice the art of chill.
Slow Sunday.
This Sunday on Six Music.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Love that a lot. I'm going to play that one out. It's brilliant. So that was a track from last year from Chilly Gonzalez and Laurent Bardin on the saxophone.
You know him?
Oh, I love Laurent.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, you know him. Yeah, he's I've known him for 20 years as well.
Yeah.
And you know, his various bands, Pony Hoax, Limousine.
Yeah,
very beautiful stuff. You know, this Monsieur Oiseau piece original has a very ugly synthesized sax, and the question was, how do we reproduce that acoustically? And we worked very hard with Laurent to make sure that it wasn't too pretty.
Yeah.
And that it kind of had to have that strain on it and find the right key so that he would be, you know, sometimes you want to hear musicians struggling a little bit. A singer like Jarvis Cocker, who I work with, he loves to, for example, sing at the very top of his range. And once in a while, I'm like, isn't that uncomfortable? Or pain? He's like, yeah, but that's how it has to sound, you know? And we're kind of going for something like that with Laurent. He was the perfect guy to find that that cry that kind of gets lodged in the throat when you're at the top of your range. And it's the same for a voice or for a saxophone.
On this record, you also work with Richard Clayderman, which I want to ask you about. But before that, Gentle Fret is your record label.
That's right, yeah.
And so you've managed to get away from the major deals and just really go for your self-releasing project?
Yeah, since 2009, it was just pretty clear that a lot of my instincts, you know, even the piano record, I was signed to Virgin in France at the time I made the piano record, and they said, what do you want to do a piano record for? And they dropped me. And then it became my biggest success ever. So I just started to realize I have good instincts and they don't.
That was the first one that you released independently, the piano
record?
That's
correct, yeah.
Oh, okay. That was good time. That was perfect. That's a very...
That was a license with a jazz label in France. And I went full independent in 2009. And the first record I did fully independently was Ivory Tower with Boys Noise, which had one of my biggest hits called Night Moves. It's still one of my biggest songs. So I realized, you know, even though I didn't really set out to be a businessman, that maybe that's another thing I got from the rappers is, you know, you have to find your internal businessman in a way, because you're the best one to try to bring that music to where people are. Mm-hmm. And what I make is not instantly commercial music, but it's found an audience. So just over the years, I just learned it's just better to fail and learn from the failure and appreciate the successes, but not waste energy trying to convince a gatekeeper to do it your way. I'm always going to do it my way and sometimes fall on my face, admittedly.
So how did you find a way to work with Richard Clayderman? What was that? Because obviously he would have been the butt of many jokes for many years.
Yeah, in Western Europe and his native France, he is a complete joke. I mean, look, his music is very cheesy. If people don't know him, he's a pops pianist. And he made a song called Letter to Adeline, which he didn't even write. He answered an ad. Some weird manager type wrote this piano piece for his mistress or something. And he was like, oh, I'm going to hire a young, good-looking kid to pretend to be the pianist who played it. Turned to sell like 100 million 45 records, you know, these little singles that we had in the old days. And he then had a career of, you know, touring the world. He plays to huge stadiums all over the world, from Venezuela to China to Turkey. But a bit of a joke in Europe, because his music is very cheesy, a lot of major chords. He's not above covering Celine Dion's song from Titanic. You know, taste-wise, which is a subjective metric, as we know, it's not really something I would listen to, and he even knows that. We've talked about it. But objectively, this man did maybe more for the piano. You know, a whole generation of kids grew up playing his music on sheet music, and he inspired me at a very young age to dream of being more than just a piano teacher or a concert pianist, because he was a pop star at the piano. Mm. And so I think without Clayderman, you definitely don't have Chilly Gonzalez. You don't have Sofiane Pamart, who's the latest French neoclassical star. You don't have Niels Fromm. I guarantee you, anyone who sort of plays the piano in a way that feels like they're in the modern world of pop absolutely owes Clayderman a huge debt. So I kind of sought him out and, you know, very diplomatically and honestly told him what was my interest. And I told him I would like to do a piece. And so I wrote him a piano score, which I then did a kind of spoken word piece on called Richard and Me, in which I talk about how much he inspired me, how he's a bit my musical father. It's a little cheeky. The last line of the piece is, why do you touch me so much, Daddy? Of course, musically speaking, he touches me. But I wanted it to be a bit louche in that sort of Gainsbourgian way that kind of has a double meaning. And he was up for it. He has a great sense of humor. He's in his 80s now. He has probably played for more people than most rock stars who are alive today. He is an ambassador of music. He is someone who popularized the piano, and I think he deserves a lot more respect. So I was very happy to bring him into my world and bring him with me to, you know, the France Inter, which is like, you know, going to BBC Three or something. And they were like, what? Richard Clayderman is coming? And if I can tell one more very quick anecdote, there's a joke in France that whenever you hear someone playing piano in the hallway or in your apartment, you say, it's Richard Clayderman. It's like a joke in France. And I was playing at the Olympia to release this album about a year and a half ago. And Richard Clayderman was so nervous to play at the Olympia with me that he was practicing on one of the backstage pianos the entire day. really respected that. My God, he did not want to make a mistake. And at one point, someone in the crew of the Olympia made the Kleiderman joke. And I said, how did you know it's him? He's like, no, it's just something we say. And I said, yeah, but go look. And then he went and looked and he saw that it actually was Richard Kleiderman. And this was encapsulating the entire operation, the strategic operation to kind of let people know he's still there and is a national treasure, I think, and deserves to be treated as such.
Richard et moi. Richard et moi, père et fils, Batman et Robin, Birdman et Lil Wayne, Astérix et Obélix, grande histoire d'amour entre Richard et moi. Sur ma platine, balade pour Adeline. Ce 45 tours que j'ai écouté 45 fois par jour. Avec tes doigts. Cette fois, Adeline n'est pas là. Joue-moi cette valse. Un, deux, trois. Un, deux, trois. Mais pourquoi est-ce que tu me touches autant, papa?
Wonderful. So this was from the, what a great story, Richard Kleiderman. But yeah, he is, I think he is famous globally. And I think it's interesting just listening to you talking and the humour in what you do and how you approach everything with that underlying your shows as well. But also the way sort of taste has changed over the years, how there's a new culture of inappropriate behaviour and politics and whatever. How do you navigate all of that? And listening back to some of your previous work, is there anything that you're like, oh, I don't know if I can do that?
Well, yeah, I started in the early 2000s, which was the first reaction to 90s political correctness, yeah, as it was called then. And then, of course, everything goes in cycles. And we're kind of, I guess, near the end of a cycle that people are calling woke, but it basically feels like a new version of political correctness. Mm. And I like the idea that political correctness exists. I think it's important in our daily life to be very careful with how we speak. How we speak, as anyone who's been to psychoanalysis knows, how we speak reveals underlying structures of how we see the world. And so I really make an effort to, you know, in my daily life as a person, to be very respectful of all these changing morals. And I think it's very important. It can go too far, of course, but sometimes we need to go too far in order to find the right balance. So I am no anti-woke warrior. Like everybody, I'm someone who's in his 50s, you know, trying to adapt to different things that have come along since I was first becoming aware of the world. But art is a whole different category. So art is where we owe it to ourselves to not police what we say. Art is the unconscious speaking as freely as possible. For it to work, art needs to create identification. And something's not right when an artist is trying to come off just like a nice guy or a nice lady. There's something that doesn't work. And we can feel that we're basically being lied to. I think people have a really good smell test. And as much as we might see certain artists as monsters for revealing something inside themselves. I think we do have to kind of try to separate the art and the artist. It's an age-old quandary that began for me when my father took me to see Richard Wagner operas in Germany. My dad's a Jewish man who loves Wagner. Wagner wrote a whole book about anti-Semitism, and he was pro-anti-Semitism, just to be clear. Very hateful man who wrote really beautiful music. I'm not a perfect person. It's not easy as maybe turning a switch and having all the perfect opinions and behaviors. I also eat meat sometimes. I don't feel good about it, but I'm imperfect. So I think we have to start from an acknowledged commonality. That's what humanism really is saying, yes, there are differences. Yes, we have to be aware of differences and advantages and privileges. But starting point of that discussion is we're all human.
Terrific. As chosen by Chilly Gonzalez, you went in for a bit of Herbie Mann.
Yeah, that's a huge banger. I mean, you don't know if you're listening to something classical, something actually from the Middle East. It turns out it's a jazz flutist paying tribute to the Middle East, but it's a beautiful orchestral arrangement. And, you know, coming back to the beginning of our discussion, I'm a bit allergic to overt jazz virtuosity for virtuosity's sake. And here you hear like a spiritual and mystical longing that maybe you wouldn't hear in one of the funkier Herbie Mann songs, which I also appreciate, of course. But I love these little one-offs that musicians have. And if you look hard enough, you'll just find what a weird experiment that Herbie Mann wanted to do by playing with an orchestra this kind of traditional, I think it's like a Hebrew tune called the Eli Eli. And, you know, you just love to find those little moments where an artist decides to really stretch out and go outside their comfort zone. So I always collect those little anomalies in people's catalogs.
I mean, I'm always like looking at you, especially when someone like you, when you perform, and you know, stand-ups and just people who go out pretty much on their own. I mean, you're there and you've got to basically deliver, and that sense of backstage before you go on, and if you've got moments in your mind of doubt and you know all of that, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with sort of the mental pressure?
Well, it's energy. So that's where I get the energy from. If you're not flipping out and feel like a fraud 5 minutes before going on stage, then you're not doing it right. Mm. You know, if you're too comfortable going on stage, that might mean you're just a kind of cynical entertainer who's phoning it in and going, okay, I know what the people want from me. But if I want to be present, people want that vulnerability. I need to make mistakes on stage. I need to say things unfiltered that will bomb. That's the next level for me to step on. That's the staircase that leads to a beautiful redemption arc during the show. I certainly know that I've done shows where I felt very comfortable and they're not my best shows. Mm. I hear it after in the recording or see it in the footage. And the moment that I'm uncomfortable and struggling, that's when something real happens. So I've now learned to build in moments in the show. I create the uncertainty. I create the discomfort. I almost do at least one or two things on stage that we've never done before. We'll just rehearse something in soundcheck. I really often invite young rappers on stage with me increasingly the last couple of years, because it means we have like 20 minutes to put something together in soundcheck. The rapper usually shows up just before they come on stage, to be honest, most of the time. And all of a sudden, no one knows what's going to happen. Rapper, musicians, and audience are all in the same state of, oh my God, we're kind of been plunged into chaos. Are we going to land? Yeah. And most of the time we land the plane, and it's a beautiful little magic trick that you can do. But I build those moments into my show as much as possible to make sure that I'm, you know, giving my face the slap that it needs to be like, no, be here. Yes, there are things I can do that will always work. I can phone in a performance just like anyone, but I prefer to feel the pressure, feel the doubt, feel the insecurity.
Are you getting better at finding, at getting the moment, the full satisfaction? Are you sort of, I look at it as a DJ in a way. When I started, it's obviously different because you're hiding in a way behind the music. And so
not if you're doing it right.
Okay. So, but fundamentally when I was younger, there was this, the sort of, the naivety was such a powerful energy that in a way it kind of, it overcame the technical issues that I might have had, because it was so powerful that it brought everyone together. So those memories are incredible. Mm-hmm. As you get older, you're further away from maybe the core audience that you're playing to, and so it's a different aspect of your skill that needs to come through. So maybe technically you become better, but you lose a little bit of the energy, and they'll, so in a way there's always, it's always shifting.
That's right. It's almost like at the beginning, you're just, it's as if you're one of the audience who, yeah, was plucked out and just happens to be on stage, and you're one of them. You know, the very early days with Peaches, when we would really push the envelope of what we could do on stage, really felt like that. And now, of course, there's a certain distance built into it. And so, yeah, there's a lot of, you have to trick yourself. You have to almost manipulate yourself into situations to find the naivete, to find the beginner's mind, to find the almost the ineptitude and delusion that's necessary necessary to even start doing something like what we do.
Brilliant. Thank you. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. I can't wait for the concert. I will be there.
Fantastic.
It's been a while, and I'm going to take you up on the 20th edition, so that's in 18 months time.
See you in set, baby.
Absolutely. Let's finish off with another track from the Gonzo, the new album that came out a couple of weeks ago. Tell me about this. Tell me about Bruiser's Wolf. Tell me about Open the Kimono.
Yeah, one of the first rappers who really saw me as a whole artist. Sometimes rappers write to me and it's just like, send pianos, almost like send nudes. It's like, I'm not just a piano machine, buy me dinner first. I like to hang out with an artist, get to know them. Sometimes that starts online, but at some point I flew Bruiser out to Paris and we hung out for a few days and then went into the studio and came up with this great song, Open the Kimono. Again, talking about how artists' responsibility is to reveal themselves in full, warts and all, letting out the monster and hoping that the audience will accept you. And that's what we do on stage. That's what we do in our closest relationships. We open the kimono. It's the most intimate thing you can do. And the best relationships are ones where they survive the opening of the kimono.
If and when I open the kimono, let me set the stage and dim the lights. If and when I introduce the monster, one of us might not make it through the night. When I open the kimono, when I open the kimono, when I open the kimono. Oh no. When I open the kimono, I could paint the painful picture of a man who's half a vampire, who screams into his pillow as he looks for his reflection in the mirror on the ceiling. He's covered like a martyr in a shroud. When I open the kimono, when I open the kimono, when I open the kimono. I'll be dodging all the
Six Music. This is BBC Radio Six Music.
BBC News at 5:30. This is Anthony Birchley. Four migrants, including a two-year-old child, have died trying to cross the channel in two separate incidents. The French authorities say the child was trampled on a boat this morning. Three adults died on another migrant boat off the coast of Calais last night. It's believed they were crushed during a panic. The Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, said it was appalling that more lives had been lost in the channel. At least 47 people have died attempting the crossing since the start of the year. The prefect of the Pas-de-Calais region, Jacques Bihan, condemned the people smugglers at a news conference.
The people smuggling networks are putting people at ever greater risk, not just adults, but more and more families with children, babies, to whom they sell crossings on a dangerous sea in totally unsuitable boats, and it is literally leading them to accident and death.
The Israeli military says its fighter jets have attacked more Hezbollah command centres in the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Hezbollah has fired a large number of rockets into northern Israel, and there are reports that residential buildings have been damaged. Thousands of people have marched through central London calling for Israel to end its military campaigns in Lebanon and Gaza. The protest is being held ahead of the first anniversary of the 7th of October attacks by Hamas. Divya Tulwar is there and sent this report.
Thousands of people holding Palestinian flags and placards with the words, "Ceasefire now," turned up on the streets of the capital to take part in the demonstrations. They held megaphones and chanted "Stop the bombing" as they walked 2 miles from Russell Square to Whitehall. The crowd was made up of people of different ages and backgrounds. Many said they felt angry and helpless because of the escalating conflict in the Middle East. There was a large police presence and more than a dozen arrests were made, but the protests were largely peaceful.
A 63-year-old man who was out picking mushrooms has been killed by a bear in Slovakia. Police say a special brown bear hunting team has been dispatched to the area near the Low Tatra Mountains in the north of the country. Football and Liverpool beat Crystal Palace 1-0 to secure their place at the top of the Premier League table ahead of the international break. The Liverpool manager Arne Slot said it was a closely fought encounter.
Very good first half. I think spells in the second half were still okay to good as well. There was only a small period of time where we had to defend a lot. Then in the end it was a tight game.
There are also wins this afternoon in the Premier League for Manchester City, Arsenal, West Ham, Brentford and Leicester. Currently, Everton are hosting Newcastle United. An effort is being made in France to save one of the country's last remaining accordion makers. The Fume Mojin has been making the instruments for more than a century, but recently announced it was going into liquidation. That's the latest Six Music News. Your next update is at 6:30.
BBC Radio.
Six Music.
I was looking forward to hearing this one from Gunavia. She's now working on Nils Fram's label, Leiter, L-E-I-T-E-R, based out of Berlin, and she's got some great guests on the album, which comes out on November the 15th. This is The Taster, Om Supreme, with VJ Iyer, Emmanuel Wilkins. South Asian singer, multi-instrumentalist. The new album is Daughter of a Temple. I discovered her when I went to see Salt. Is that a year ago now? Absolutely incredible. And recently, you might have seen her performing on Jules Holland Show. and a show in the UK as part of London Jazz Festival. The names are beginning to get announced. He's playing at Union Chapel, Garnavia, November the 23rd. Thank you again to my special guest this week. Jason Beck, Chili Gonzalez, yes, brilliant to catch up. I'm just sticking with the generational artists right now. And she's got a show as well coming up very, very soon. The 18th of October, playing at the Barbican Centre, is Nala Sanefro. Wanted to go there because I'm there at the moment, or I've been there just recently in Taipei, Taiwan, playing music from Gong 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 and Mong Tong. Psychedelic Cosmiche duo out of Beijing, the Gong bit and Taipei the Hmong bit. If that makes any sense. The absolutely spot on Holy Tongue you heard with the great Al Wooten and the one and only Valentina Magaletti. Valentina featured recently on Jams' show. I saw her performing various projects that she led the way on, three particular performances in a row recently. She left out Vanishing Twin, but she was there with VZ, Zongamen. She was there with Holy Tongue. And she was there with the group called Moin, who of course have been getting a lot of airplay on this show for the last few years. They're signed to AD93, and this is their brand new single featuring Olen Monk.
For what it's worth, I guess it's wrecked. Pulled up on the curb outside, at least what's left. Forget. If I could take you for a long drive, I can get lost, but I can't get found. Still with love on my side, we can get in, but we can't get out.
foot down. Doesn't change a thing. It's not what I meant. If I could take you out for a ride, you can come up but you can't come down. Taking it out on a long drive, I can go through but I can't get around. What I said, no money for rent. I put my foot down. If I could take you out for a ride, we can come up, we can come down. Take a little over on my side. I can get through, but I can't get down. Only live in the moment. We only live in the moment.
Yeah, Moyen, fantastic. I don't normally finish off on this sort of style of music, but hey, why not? Craig's on the way. Thank you again to Chile Gonzalez, my guest. Next week, I'm going to be doing some radio co-hosting, I think, with Nubia Garcia. And the new album, Odyssey, just came out a couple of weeks ago. She pulled out the guests on this album. You've got Georgia Ann Muldrow, got Esperanza Spalding, and you got our very own Richie with Set It Free. UK soul, jazz, bit of Lovers. It's a brilliant album, Nubia. We'll chat more about it next week, and thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the show.
Ride. Yeah, 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 nothing but ecstasy.